Good morning, beloved ones. Turn to someone and tell them, you look marvelous. It's a glorious day. It's all good. Because this is a glorious day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I shall rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to be glad this day. I'm going to rejoice this day. I'm going to choose to be in joy this day. You know, because every day that we awaken, we have a choice. We can choose whatever it is that we would like to feel inwardly. And today I'm going to choose to feel happy and glorious, wondrous. I know some of you, probably many of you, are rejoicing because it's not raining outside. Right? It's now raining and we have an opportunity perhaps maybe to go outside and to enjoy ourselves, to enjoy the warm weather, to enjoy the sunshine, because we love it when we can go boating or fishing or swimming or cooking outdoors or inviting some friends over, golfing, cycling, whatever it is, or just maybe just sitting outside. Last night, I just went outside and I just stood there just so I could feel the peace that was there. We enjoy all of those things because it makes us feel as if we are truly relaxing and enjoying life, enjoying our lives, enjoying some recreational activity, or as I like to call it, some recreation activity, where we can restore and renew and recreate ourselves, where we enjoy something perhaps maybe other than work. True enlightenment will come when we even know how to enjoy our work. But in the meantime, we like being able to do some of the fun things that we have deemed. But have you ever noticed how so much of our joy or our sense of joy is hinged upon something or something as variable as the weather? You know, when the sun is shining and it's warm outside, we feel good, we feel upbeat, we feel positive. And perhaps when it is raining or it's overcast outside, we feel down, depressed, gloomy. And I know all about the scientific research that says that light and natural light, of course, sunshine and light, that they indeed do have a positive effect on our mind and on our physical body. That is scientifically true. But I also contend that when we allow some variable outside of ourselves, be it the rain, be it another individual, your children, your spouse, your situation at work, your health, anything. When we allow some variable outside of ourselves to affect our sense of happiness, joy, peace, and well-being, then we're going to be in for a bumpy ride. A bumpy ride because, you see, things in the outer will always change. There's always going to be something going on out here. Always something, some issue, some situation. Rosanna Dana used to say, if it's not one thing, it's another. There's always something going on, right? And if we allow those things that are going on out here to affect our sense of happiness or joy or peace or well-being, then we will constantly be disturbed, constantly be in an inner state of turmoil, always at the whim of whatever it is that's going on. Because there's always going to be a little rain and a little sunshine in everybody's life. The Bible tells us that, right? It says the rain falls upon the just and the unjust. But likewise, it says the sun shines on the just and the unjust. So we're always going to have a little rain, a little sunshine. But wouldn't you want to know how to be content through it all? How to be content? Paul said that, you know what? I have learned, he said the secret of life was that he had learned how to be content in all things. And that's why I would really like to know how to do that, to be just content. Raining, I'm content. Sun shining, I'm content. Things going well, I'm content. Things going not so well, I'm content. See, that's something to really have a hold on. To learn how to be abased and to abound, and also to learn how to deal with things when they are at their low point. To be in the valleys as well as the mountaintops. Because life is going to give us the opportunity to have all those experiences. And yet somehow we just move up and we move down. Wouldn't you like to somehow be free of the roller coaster ride of all of life's ups and downs? It's not that life will not give you ups and downs, but you will not be affected by the ups and the downs. See, I don't go on roller coasters and merry-go-rounds because they make me sick. You understand? All that going around and around and around makes me ill. But I would like to be able to also not take myself through all the round and the round and the ups and downs that life presents in terms of my own inner state of being. I'd like to be able to ride through the journey of life being content, being at peace. You know, the truth of the matter is that happiness, joy, peace, well-being do not come from anything outside of ourselves. And we all know that, don't we? If I were to say to you, do you know that your happiness, your joy, your peace does not come from anything outside of yourself, you would all tell me, mm-hmm, I know that. And yet, do we not all still become affected by what's going on outside of ourselves? We obsess with it, think about it, try to work with it, manipulate it, change it, all of that. And we know that the happiness that we're seeking doesn't come from out there. You see, the happiness, joy, well-being, peace, that is your natural inner state of being. It's your inner state of being. And as an inner state of being, you don't have to do anything to acquire it. In fact, there's nothing that you can do to get it because it's already there. You can't get more happiness, more peace, more joy than is already within you and available to you. You can't buy happiness. We know that. You can't buy happiness. You can't buy peace of mind. You can't buy joy. You don't have to earn it. You can't even earn it. It's not a matter of how good you are, or how wonderful you think you are in the sight of God. You don't have to earn it. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. You can't even and should not even want to strive for it. That's an illusion that we're striving for happiness. You ever notice why it keeps eluding you? Right? You're striving for something that you could never get out here. And get this, nothing in the outer can give it to you, nor can anything in the outer take it away from you. So often we think, oh, something can take away my peace. This thing is taking away my joy. You've heard that old saying a lot of times in traditional religions, oh, don't let the devil steal your joy. Right? They'll tell you that the devil's just lurking around the corner, waiting to steal your joy, to steal your good, to steal your peace. Well, the truth of the matter is that the devil, which we in Unity give no credence, no power, no energy, no thought to, because it is a no thing, right? But we understand, though, but some people need a devil because they need something to blame it on or whatever. But the devil cannot steal your joy, nor can anyone else or anything else, because no one or nothing can take what is inwardly yours. Inwardly, peace, joy, well-being, happiness, light, those are inward states of being, and no one can take away your inner state of being. Things, manifest things in the outer may be taken, form things may be taken, this bookmark may be taken, the picture, things may be taken in the outer, but nothing inwardly can ever be taken, be it your joy, your peace, your power. Nobody can take your power. Nobody can take your peace, your joy, your light, your love. The truth of the matter is, friends, is that we give them away. We give away our power. We give away our peace. We give away our joy, our happiness, our well-being. We give it away, and then somehow or another we cry that someone or something has stolen it, taken it. That's when we're in victim consciousness, victim mentality. Someone or something is doing something to me, taking something from me. We cry foul when we should be calling upon faith. And so I want us to take a look at some of the ways in which we actually give up our joy, our peace, and our happiness. Because we have to tell ourselves the truth. We like to tell ourselves and fake it that somebody is taking it, but we have to say, you know what? I am giving away my peace right now. I'm giving away my happiness. I'm giving away my joy. We got to own our stuff. That's how you become a victor and not a victim. And so we want to look at some ways in which we willingly or unwillingly or unconsciously give up our joy or our peace or our happiness. And there are many ways that we can do it. We do it through a lot of the, what I call the disses. We do it through disappointment. We give it up through discouragement, through disillusionment, right? Or despair. All the disses, but let's just look at a few of them. I want to start with disappointment as a way in which we give up our joy or our peace or our happiness. Because who amongst us here has never been disappointed by someone or something in life? Anybody here never experienced disappointment? Right, okay? Because we all have, you see. Something doesn't go quite right, or it doesn't go exactly as we planned, exactly as we thought it would or wanted it to. Or we don't get exactly what we wanted to get. Or we don't get it when we wanted to get it. Or how we wanted to get it. And sometimes we act like little children. We then pout and get all frustrated and mad at someone who didn't give it to us, or the situation that didn't turn out right, and we're all inside of ourselves full of disappointment and hurt, maybe even anger. I didn't get what I wanted to get. You didn't give me what I wanted, what I asked for. This was not the way it was supposed to go. We planned it this way. And so we experience a sense of disappointment, but see, if we truly understood the spiritual side of life, because in the human realm, things are going to go as they go. But if we understood the spiritual side of life and we understood spiritual laws and principles, we would understand that things will always go as they should go. That things go according to spiritual law and under God's grace. Things are always in divine order. We may not like the unfoldment or the process in which they're showing up and how it's showing up, but there is an order. Nothing in the universe can be out of order, of God's order. Everything is in divine order, and it's always at work in our life. And no one or no thing can ever really take our good from us. If we knew that, we wouldn't get half as frustrated as we do. No one can take out our good from us, because there are no accidents in the universe and there's nothing out of order. Divine order is always at work. Because you see, there's a divine plan. There's a divine unfoldment for our lives. And our lives are always leading us to our highest good. We may not know it, we may not see it, we may not believe it, but everything in our life is leading us to our highest good. And if we could somehow give up our sense of disappointment, then we will flow in accordance with our good. We'll flow more easily with the order of things as they are out picturing. Let's look at the word disappointment for a moment. Dis means without, right? And so thus, disappointment could mean without an appointment. So when something does not go your way, or when it does not happen as you wanted it to happen, it may be because it is without an appointment. It was out with an appointment, right? And let's think about this even further. It means that it was not the appointed thing for you. Or perhaps it was not for your highest good. Or maybe that it is not the appointed time for you. So whenever you're tempted to feel disappointed, simply remind yourself that it is simply not your appointed good. It's not your appointed time. It's without appointment. Because after all, what you want is what is for your highest good, don't you? What you want is what God has appointed for you. Now, sometimes we do think that we know better than God what is good for us. And God will allow us to pray and ask for that which we think we want and need. But through grace sometimes, you know, and love, we get something even better than we asked for. So sometimes we say when you pray, you should say in unity, "This, Lord, or something better." Give God an opportunity to give you your appointed good, your designated good. That's what we want. You want to be able to keep your divine appointment. Because you see, when you are in tune with your divine appointment, not your disappointment, but when you are in tune with divine appointment, you will know that your good will come to you. It cannot be denied you. If it's God appointed, it will not be denied you, cannot be denied you. And the good that you seek will come to you, but it'll come to you in the right way and at the right time. So if something, give up your disappointment. Give them up. I'm not saying that you won't ever feel that, but don't linger too long with disappointment. Don't go around bemoaning, "Oh, I didn't get this. Oh, it didn't work." Give up the disappointment quickly, because you see, prolonged disappointment has the tendency to turn into depression. When you can't release disappointment, you then move into, slip into depression. And along similar lines, because depression is something like the disappointment, disillusionment, discouragement. It's the D, depression, quote unquote. When we allow depression to take our joy, quote unquote, because we know nothing can take our joy, but that's what we tell ourselves. And when we slip into depression, that's what we're doing. And yes, I know, friends, that there are some of us who perhaps may experience a level of depression that is due to a physiological imbalance in the brain and the body. I'm aware of that. And I'm not talking about that type of depression, diagnosed depression, although I do believe that God is even able to handle and heal that type of depression as well. Okay? But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the everyday, ordinary sense of depression that we sometimes allow ourselves to fall into, right? To move into. Not chemically induced, right? By an imbalance in the brain, maybe an imbalance in our thinking and in our feeling and in our perceptions about things. But we can allow those things then to move us. When things aren't going our way as we plan, we feel that maybe life has lost its savor. Life has lost its flavor, its zip, its spice. It's boring, it's ho-hum. Or we're holding on to that disappointment too long. Then we can experience depression. But let's look at the word again. Because D can also mean without. And so when we are depressed, we are without expression. When we're depressed, we are without expression. We're holding ourselves back on some level. We're holding ourselves down, back, in. You see, things aren't doing it to us. People aren't doing it to us. We, when we're depressed, are doing it to ourselves. Holding back depression, holding back the truth without the truth operating, holding back the truth from ourselves, holding on to error thoughts and error consciousness, or we're feeding on negative energy, negative thoughts, we're stifling our own sense of creativity. We are without expression. And so the quickest way then to move yourself out of depression or from being without expression is to find ways to express yourself. Express yourself. To put yourself somehow out there. To express means to press out, because EX also means out, right? Exit, existential. EX means out. So to express means to press out. We need to be able to press out the divine qualities within us into our world, into life, into our fish. You see, we are so used to thinking something out here is going to fill me up. Somebody, something is going to give me happiness. See, oh, it's going to make everything all right out here. And so we're trying to fill up. But you need to express. You need to press out that which is already within you. The things that you are seeking, the love, the light. We think of somebody's going to love me enough out here that I'm going to be filled with love. Uh-uh. When you press out the love that is within you, you then will draw to you that which you seek. Somehow somebody out here is going to give me the press out the wisdom that is there. Express it. Put it out. Go within to bring it out of yourself. And that's how we work in life. It doesn't come from without to within. It's from within out. And so you want to press out the truth of your being, who you truly are. You want to be able to connect on some level. When you are sitting there and you are depressed and it's been over a week, I usually give about a week, you know. I'm getting better. I used to give myself, I'm down to a couple of days now. You know what I mean? Maybe a day or two. But really, years ago, I used to I'd take myself through it. And I'm not saying I'm beyond taking myself through, but it doesn't last as long. I just say, okay, enough of that. I need enough of that. After a while, I got to move out and do something different, be about the truth. So you need to connect on some level with the creative energy and essence of life in you if you're depressed. Connect with creativity. Share some way of sharing and expressing from within out. Maybe, I don't care if you have to garden, go dig in the earth or paint or find some creative expression. Maybe you need to volunteer, some way of giving of yourself in some way. Because if you can do that, when you are depressed, you are withholding yourself back. So when you begin to express yourself, to give of yourself in some way, to put it out there, you'll see that you'll move from depression into expression. And then your natural state of joy and peace and well-being will begin to come forth once again. And you'll have less time, friends, to worry about your outer state and conditions. Less time to worry. And speaking about worrying, that's just another way in which we give up our joy. Through worry. Worry is a wasted activity. But yet we do it. That old song that says, don't worry, be happy. It's very simplistic, and it sounds simplistic as a teaching, but it is a deep truth. Do not worry, be happy. Even Jesus says that, he tells us, be anxious about nothing. He asks us, can a worry change anything in your life? Can it change one moment in your life? Can it change one hair on your head? Makes gray, maybe. But the answer, he says, is no. He says, why are you worrying? Why are you doing it? Look at the lilies of the field. They neither toil nor sweat. And yet your heavenly Father takes care of them and feeds them and knows what they have need of. Why are you worrying? He says, be anxious about nothing. Worry about nothing. He said, look, let today's grace be sufficient for today, because let the worries of tomorrow take care of themselves. Be in the now moment, deal with today. Worrying, you see, gives you a false sense of security, a false sense of control, because you mistakenly think that somehow worrying is going to change the outcome of something. That if you worry enough, that it'll magically change. If you worry enough, you're actually controlling the issue or the situation. It's a false sense of security. The Apostle Paul said this in Philippians 4:6. He said, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. I love that. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. That's where your power lies. Be affirmative. Speak the truth. Call it forth. And then he goes on to say, tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And just before that verse, he says in Philippians 4:5, He says, always be full of joy in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice. Always be full of joy in the Lord. And again, he says, I say rejoice. To rejoice is to keep yourself coming back inwardly to your natural state of joy. Not joy that is dependent upon something out here, but your inward state of joy. To rejoice, to re-experience that natural state of joy over and over, because re means over and over. Right? So to rejoice is to return over and over to your state of joy. Something goes wrong, return to your state of joy. Something's happened, return, rejoice. Come back to that state because you see it's a matter of choice. Every experience is going to give you the opportunity to choose joy. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to reconnect to the joy that's within me. It's a choice. Because the only place that you ever have any kind of control is in your inner kingdom, your inner realm. It's over your thoughts, your feelings, your attitudes, and your perceptions. But you have to choose. You have to choose to see things differently. You have to choose to think differently, to perceive differently, to respond differently. You've got to recondition your thoughts and your perceptions so that you will always come back to the truth of your being. Return back. That's what repent is too, to return, to repent, to turn around, come back to the truth of your being. And when we do this, friends, when you know who you are and when you know who God is in you, then you'll be full of joy. When you know who you are as a magnificent, powerful child creation of God, endowed, empowered with so many wonderful gifts, when you know that, you will be filled with joy. If you know who you are and you know who God is in you. Sometimes I say, you know what, I know who I am, but more importantly, I know who God is in me and through me. And so you need not fear or worry or doubt or engage in any of these weakening things that weaken your inner constitution and emotion. And if you can do that, then the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Joy is a strengthening power. It'll be your strength, and it'll allow you to be at peace and to be who you are, no matter what your situation, no matter what your circumstances. People might think you're crazy when you can remain at peace when somehow everyone is in chaos all around you. People might think you're strange when you can be at peace when they feel you should be in deep grief or you should have, you know. No, you can be at peace and enjoy it no matter what your experience. You'll be happy when you know who you are and whose you are, because you know that the living spirit of God indwells you, lives in you, expresses and presses itself out through you as joy. And then, you know what? Then you'll be what I like to say, you will be joy in yourself. That's what it means to truly enjoy yourself. You will be joy in yourself. I am joy in myself. I'm enjoying my life. I am joy in my life. I am joy in myself. No matter what, I'm going to do that. And so I'm going to delight myself in the Lord of my being, because the scripture says, delight yourself in the Lord, and in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. So keep yourself consciously connected to God. Connected to the truth of your being. Don't fret about the past or worry about the future. Live in the eternal now. God is present now. God is here now. Trust in that truth and name it all good. Count it all joy. I am in joy in myself. People say, are you enjoying yourself? Mm-hmm. I am joy in myself. And if you can tap that inner state of being, friends, then you will learn to be content. As Paul said, in every situation, you can keep your peace, you can keep your joy, you can keep your happiness and your well-being no matter what. Come rain or come shine, you can enjoy. Choose to be happy. Blessings.